Well, that was a really, some of those prayers and stuff, the music even, was just perfect. And it just prepares our hearts even to a deeper degree to receive the pretty much the most precious things we have. It's one of the most precious things we have, and that's God's Word. Yeah. I do not understand how people can go through life and be blessed and happy if they don't understand how magnificent God's Word is in our life and what it teaches us and what it enables us to do and to be successful in. Without that knowledge, it's just the things of this world. And I've lived long enough to realize those are not what I want. I do not want the things of this world. I'm not of this world. Thank you, God and Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, Barney did a really great teaching on the power of words. The things we speak, words, that thing, or things. The words we speak are so important. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, God tells us that the power of life and death is in the tongue. Now, he doesn't say the power of life and death are in the tongue. Sometimes he makes the statement, the power of death or life is in the tongue. So we should be very, very careful what we allow ourselves to speak. The words we speak start from thoughts. They don't just pop out of our mouths. We've thought about it. They've gone through our brain cells. And God has a lot to say about our thoughts because God understands the process of our brains. He created it, you know, and so he knows what's good for it and what isn't. And in Psalms chapter 94, verse 11, let's go there. We'll see a few verses here about our thoughts. And most of the verses tonight will be from the New King James unless otherwise stated. Just so you can follow, if you're looking at another version, it's going to be close. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, right there, God gives you a big clue. You know, our thoughts are futile. So what do we do about that? Well, we don't look at our thoughts. We go to the Word and we look at God's thoughts, God's Word. Go to Psalm 139, verse 2. Another one. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. But the psalmist here is talking to God. And he's telling God, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You know when I'm up and moving, when I'm not moving. And you understand my thoughts afar off. God understands our thoughts much sooner than we do. Okay? In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26, and this is from the New International Version, which I chose this because it's just very plain in the translation. Give careful thought. This is God speaking to us. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. And right here you see that there is something that goes along with your thoughts. Be careful, give careful thought to your paths or your feet and the steadfastness in all your ways. It tells us to be careful about our thoughts, but then it tells us because of the path our feet will take and be steadfast in all your ways. How easy is it to get off course? You know? Where sometimes we're moving right along, our thoughts are lined up with God's Word, and life's great, and then something will happen. And then what happens? Are we steadfast on that Word, or are we wobbly? You know? Do we really catch it, or do we get caught up in it? You know, as we can see, our thoughts are important to guard our words. Our thoughts produce our words. So we need to guard our thoughts. So what are we feeding ourselves? Mm-hmm. What are we giving our thoughts and our brain cells to work with? How much time, Vicki, I thought about this, do I spend on focusing on what the problem is? How much time do I give the problem? or how I feel about the problem. Or, here's a good one, how I think God should handle the problem. Well, God, this is what I need. God, you know I need this, and if you did this, and this could work. Oh, man, I catch myself much more than I want to. But you know what? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about guarding those thoughts before they go in your head and become words out of your mouth, where then you're doubting God, where we make statements about, well, God, if you will do this, if God will do it, you know, they're words, but these words affect me. So not only do we need to watch the words we speak to others, which sometimes I think I'm more careful about than the words I speak to myself, but the word says that we are to meditate on the things of God. Now that word meditate is really it's really a word that can be very controversial in this world, because just like everything else God does, the adversary takes it and makes a twist to it that makes it produce what he wants it to produce if we're not sharp enough to catch that. Worldly meditation is self-focused and self-centered. And there's a lot of religion or a lot of different issues that tell you to meditate. And basically, if you read some of that stuff, it's meditate about yourself. Get yourself peaceful. Get yourself built up. Get yourself convinced that you have the power to produce whatever needs to happen in your life. That's a lot of what you'll read if you read that stuff. Yet biblical meditation is God-focused, and it's God-centered. And the meditation is according to the Word of God, which is to speak the Word of God to yourself. Don't speak how you feel. Don't speak about the problem. Now, I'm not saying we don't think about it here and there, and there's times we got to bring our minds back, but really to guard our words, we've got to guard our hearts. I mean, our thoughts. And to guard our thoughts, we've got to meditate according to the Word of God. And that word meditate is a Greek word, H-A-G-A-N, Hagen, and it means to speak to yourself the words of God. It's that simple. It's not complicated, it's not hard, it's not confusing, it's very simple. We look at the Word of God and we speak the Word of God to ourselves. Look at Psalm chapter 1. When we meditate upon the Word of God, there is profit. God directs our paths. And when He's directing our path, and we're allowing Him to do that, then we will see profit. Psalm 1, verse 3. This is the New King James Version again. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor steps in the feet of the scornful. But his delight, the blessed man's delight, is in the law of our Lord, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. It's not just a once in a while thing. It's when you're alone and you have time, think about the Word of God. Speak it to yourself. Speak it out loud. Speak it silently in your head. Read it. It produces wonderful results. He meditates day and night, verse 3. He, the man, the blessed man who meditates day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves shall also not wither, and whatsoever he does prospers. That is a promise from God's Word to anyone who is meditating on the Word of God. It opens up our heart. We hear God clearer. He can direct our path clearer. The word here for meditate is that Hebrew word Haggai that I was just telling you about. Reverend Ken Petty, in his book, It's Deep Waters, makes the following observation. The Rothhammer translation of verse 2 is, and in his law doth he talk with himself. Okay, so talk with yourself about God, about the things that God talks with himself day and night. R.K. Harrison renders it, so that day and night he recites this law to himself. Confessing God's word is a great key for success in any endeavor. Yet, consider carefully the heart that is behind the confession of the word. How do we guard our heart? The same way we guard our mind, with the word of God. And God tells us, when we do that, it says in Philippians, when we do that, he guards our heart. I mean, how can it get any more powerful than that? Okay, yet consider carefully the heart that is behind the confession of the word. This man's delight is in the law of the Lord. Speaking the word to oneself is much more than a technique for winning success. People in the world employ positive confessions, okay? We've heard this, to achieve success. But as believers, we need to confess the word of God, not primarily to get results for ourselves, because that is what the world does. But we confess the word of God because we love God and we love his word. And it enables us to help others. That's why we do it. We love God. We love his word. And we want to help each other. That's a much different perspective on meditation than the world's perspective. Joshua, go to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. This is the King James Version. There's so many, these verses, if we just think upon them, later if you write some of this down, or if you don't, you want to listen to the teachings, or just get verses that bless you, that you already have in your basket, of verses. And sit down and read those verses to yourself, knowing that this is the creator of the heavens and the earth that is speaking to you. To you. Like in the manifestations, we make God happy. I mean, I think I'm like, whoa, I'm going to have to do better. sometimes I forget. But you know what? God loves us so much. How we act and what we say and do does affect his heart. Now, we can't break his heart or anything like that because he's God Almighty. And he loves us in spite of it. But man, oh man, this is God. This is who we're dealing with. 1 Joshua chapter 8. This is where God tells Joshua. Now remember, this is where Joshua is taking over for Moses. And he's got the children of Israel to deal with. Okay? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. This is what he's telling Joshua. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do accordingly to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. This is the direction God is giving Joshua, getting ready to take the children of Israel to the promised land. And we see here, and we'll see in some other verses, that it is not only important to meditate upon the word of God, but it is important to confess the word of God to ourselves, but also to take action upon the things that God tells us to do while we're doing the meditation upon God's word. These instructions for Joshua are vitally important for his walk with God. And if he just meditated and didn't do anything with what he was thinking about, he would not get the results. It's very important. Look at James chapter 1. And for us, the promises are the same thing. We go to God. He directs our path. We meditate upon his word. And he gives us direction from that word. But we have to be the ones to be obedient to it or not, to either follow those directions or not. And I can tell you, I know times when I didn't do what God told me to do, and it was not fun. It happens. This is not fairy tale. This is God's word. This is the truth of life. Okay, James chapter 1, but be ye what? Doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. It doesn't say the adversary is deceiving you in that situation. What does it say? You're deceiving yourself if you are if you are not a doer of God's word. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. It's so easy when we don't keep our heads in the word to forget that we are the sons and daughters of God, and that we have a responsibility to walk like Jesus Christ did, to be that example to people who still need to be delivered from the adversary's grasp. And if we don't keep our heads in the word, we forget that's who we are. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and where do we find that? God's word. And continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. That's a promise from God's word. Go to Psalms, chapter 143. This is another version, King James version. Psalm 143:5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse, that's another word for meditate, on the work of thy hands. We are to meditate, to speak words to ourselves. It can also be used as the word murmur. We need to murmur the things of God, the word of God, to ourselves. You know what murmuring is? And many times murmuring is used in a very negative connotation. But here, No, we murmur the words of God to ourselves. We talk to ourselves, speaking to ourselves and each other the word of God. Pretty cool, isn't it? Okay, Psalm 104. And these are just, the verses we're looking at is just about this great privilege we have to meditate upon God's word. We have the written word in a form of which we can really understand. And we can see God's heart from that. Psalm 104:34. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Okay, so maybe things aren't going exactly the way you think they should go. So what? How much time are you going to think about things ain't going the way I want them to go? Well, this isn't happening right. Well, I thought this would be done by now. Well, I thought he would already have told me he's sorry. I thought, how much time do we spend on that rather than on, you know what? I will love the Lord. I will be glad in the Lord. I will meditate with my whole heart. I know that this is something that we don't operate enough. And okay, I'll say Vicki. Vicki doesn't operate it enough in her life, okay? I'm just being honest. And now I've been endeavoring to do it better since I heard Barney teach that thing on words, and he mentioned meditation. And Ken Petty does a great book on meditation and words, and that's in Deep Waters. It's a little pamphlet he did years ago. Man, that thing is packed full. It's really, yeah, I would recommend you to read it if you haven't recently. Look at Psalm 119:97. It says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Wow. I don't know which psalmist said that, but it is my meditation all the day. That's what I want to get to. Psalm 19:14. There's a lot about this in the book of Psalms, if you guys haven't figured that out already. But it's other places in the Word, too. But, man, I'll tell you, there's a lot of them in Psalms. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth. Now listen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, wow. I just have to read it again. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Speaking God's word to ourselves and to taking the action that is required is so powerful in building a strong, intimate relationship with God. And it puts our hearts in a place to reach out to others and to help others see what a loving, kind, and tender, and powerful God we have, and what a forgiving God we have. God's goodness and God's grace is what people need to see coming from our lives. And in order for that to happen, we have to understand who we really are and the responsibility we have before God Almighty. You know? And so let's make a commitment in our hearts to do this better. Better than you're already doing it. Maybe you're excellent. We'll get excellently excellent. You know what I mean? Because God promises great things when we do meditate. He promises great and powerful things in our lives. And then people see that love of God flowing from us, and they want to know how we do things. And have you had people ask you that? I don't know how come you're always, they used to ask me that, why are you always happy? Well, because I have a God that blesses me, you know. It is our responsibility to speak the truth in love. But first and foremost, it is our responsibility to speak the truth in love to ourselves. Because that is the only way it is going to end up coming out of your mouth towards somebody else. It's to know it, believe it in your own heart, and then speak it forth with great conviction and great love for our Father. So, Barney, you want to play that song?
Let the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, pleasing to you. The meditation of my heart be pleasing. let the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, pleasing to you.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your love and for the word that you have placed within our midst, Father, and have given us the ability to understand. And that as we continue to grow in our understanding and in our application of the scriptures, Father, that we are pleasing to you, that our words that we speak are words of victory and kindness and love and joyfulness, Father. And they all are directed to you, God, because of what you've accomplished for us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're so thankful, Father, for the opportunity to be your kids and to speak forth your word with great love and boldness. So, Father, just know that as we look to you and continue to reach out to you, Father, that our hearts are open to you and our lives are here for you to work with and to help us change the things we still need to change. And yet you accept the things that we are right now. So, Father, we're so grateful to you and so thankful to you and to one another, Father, to be a part of such a wonderful family of God, that we're here for one another in circumstances and situations, good or bad, and that we're here to be blessed and to be a blessing, Father. Thank you for the ability to do that with one another. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.